Hey guys, welcome back to, I think it's going to be episode 6, but let's see how it all goes. I have Mekken Schrotter here, who is very much involved in social media for wine businesses and wine influencers, I believe. But I think she's going to tell more about herself and the business. Welcome, Mekken. Thank you for accepting my invitation to the podcast. Very nice to talk to you today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I am super excited. And as mentioned before, this is my first podcast interview. So I'm super excited to be able to do this with you and be on the Fine Wine to Me podcast. So yeah, I'll tell you a little bit about Glean Connections. So we are an agency that supports those within the wine industry. And we support with a range of tasks and different areas. Those which include administrative tasks, so anything kind of on the back end, wine club management, product management, you name it. And then we also kind of have the marketing side. So that is the social media, the email marketing, kind of the website management, the brand kind of as a whole, and ensuring it's kind of all cohesive and attracting the right audience. So it is me. And then I also have a team behind me that helps support clients with tasks. And we support clients within any kind of area within the wine industry. So that be WSET educators, wineries, tasting rooms, wine bars, you name it. Kind of like the one-stop shop for support for the wine industry.
Brilliant. It's quite funny because I think in some ways we are actually competitors on the market. I don't think it's going to be... No. You know, big crossovers, but who knows? No. Let's talk about wine social media. I think this topic is very often featured on this podcast because this is part of the things which I'm dealing with on a daily basis. And I think it's a very important element of digital marketing nowadays and marketing as a whole. And I think we can talk about topics, whether it's major part of marketing, whether it's the replacement of marketing in the future, but we'll see. Before we do anything, let me run my epic intro of 4 seconds. Here we go. There we go. Usually, Okay. Everyone thinks that it's going to be some very, very long intro, but I think let's not ruin the show with something like this. And yeah, how did you get into the wine industry, first of all? Or are you in the wine industry? Or are you more in the digital world rather than the wine industry?
Yeah, kind of a bit of both. I would say, to be honest, like starting off when I think about way back when being from Canada, our legal age, same as England, 18, and most of Europe, I believe, 18. When I first turned 18, I hated wine. I was like, this is disgusting. Who would ever drink this? I only drink Barefoot Moscato if anything, which is, as you know,
like very, very, very big brand in North America.
Barefoot, yeah, exactly. But it is, like, as you know, Moscato, just a sweet wine. So that's what I kind of went into. And then eventually over time, as I got older, started hanging out with my mom and my grandma. They were really big wine drinkers, but they'd only drink Pinot Grigio. So then I went from Moscato to Pinot Grigio. Nothing really too drastic there, but started liking more of that kind of wine. And then when I was living abroad in 2020, obviously COVID, nobody could work. Visas weren't being given out. I was over in Spain and I saw this girl talking about creating an online business, doing virtual assistants, and I just jumped at it. And then I decided to choose wine as my niche, even though I had zero idea about it, like literally nothing, not even how it was made. All I knew is I like Pinot Grigio. That was it. So that kind of sparked my curiosity for it. And then from choosing wine as a niche, I then took my WSET level 2. So became a little bit more educated, knew what I was talking about, and was able to continue my education into wine and then be able to help support wine brands better. So yeah, kind of like a bit of both. I would say like digital world, yes. And then also somewhat wine industry in terms of just that we support those within the wine industry. But I mean, I think, yeah, I'm excited to kind of talk about more of like the digital and social media world within wine, as I think it is definitely evolving and there's a lot to learn within it.
Yes, I was going to say just one thing before we head into the wine and digital marketing part. I think I saw it on your social media. Epic water skiing skills there. I can say that. Yes, exactly.
It's
a bit of a mixture of the two, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In the summer, yeah, we have like a boat at our lake in Canada. Well, not our lake, but a lake we visit in Canada, and you can kind of surf right behind the boat. So I was like, oh, why not? Pass me a bottle because the boat is right there. So yeah, kind of surf and sip at the same time.
That's nice. That's nice. So it's definitely worth checking out your yeah. Instagram and your social media handles, because I think you find some fun stuff there.
Yeah, for sure.
So first thing first, we discussed the topics briefly before we head on, but and I'll put it down on the screen as well. So why is social media important for a winery or a wine brand today? I think it's a simple question or a simple statement, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I do think that people in the wine industry, and I'm talking very general here, and apologies to everyone who don't agree with this, but I think people in the wine industry still doesn't understand the power of social media yet. But what is your take on this one?
Yeah, I agree as well. I think they don't fully realize the capabilities of it. Not only that, but like, have you noticed most social media platforms are free? So it is essentially free marketing for your brand. So why not go ahead and do it, right? Obviously, we can talk about paid and stuff like that. There are things like that. But just speaking on organic marketing, using like Instagram, it's free to sign up for account, Facebook, et cetera. So it's just another way of having your brand be more visible to people. And I also think, especially with like wine brands on social media, it's a really good platform for connection, right? Would you agree? Like,
that's one thing, but again, it's not very often talked about, that it's social media is not necessarily just a brand awareness tool. I think it's also a tool where you can actually communicate and engage with your consumers, your peers, your friends, essentially, and hopefully your fans as well at some point. But I do agree with that.
Yeah, definitely. I think definitely, yeah, like kind of like the connection and community building thing is like one of the main things that I think is really great and a benefit and important for wine brands on social media. Because it's just, another, like you said, like another way to kind of get closer to your audience or whoever it is that is buying your wine, getting to learn more insights about them, like what it is that they like, what do they enjoy. And then from that, you're also able to better tailor your products to them and your marketing to them as well.
When I talk to somebody, even on the podcast as well, a lot of people I talk to, I never actually met in person. And I think it's the beauty of social media as well, because we connect via social media. That's the first thing. And then connection leads to common interest, connection leads to conversations. And then, you know, stuff happens. And there are, I actually had a wine import business and then I had an e-commerce business. I worked with people who I never met in my life. And it's all through social media. And I think that this is where people underestimate the power of social media very much. Mm-hmm. I think it could lead to very interesting things, very exciting things, and hopefully or potentially financially beneficial things as well, but for wine brands, wine companies as well. So I think definitely, agree there.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it definitely brings a lot of opportunities that I think are not also like not typically available outside of social media, right? Like, for example, like you and I, we met on social media. So I think like that's a great example. Like maybe we could have met in London or something somewhere else, but just like this opportunity brought us together. So I think as a winery or a wine brand, there's those opportunities that can present itself, such as maybe there's a wine festival across the globe that is really interested in bringing your wines to their festival to share them with other people, like that kind of thing. It's bringing that connection together, regardless of where people are, which is really great.
I think that the next question sort of comes from this. Where does social media actually fit in the bigger marketing mix? Because I feel that there is one element who doesn't really realize the power of social media or one segment. The other segment feels like social media is marketing. So where is the sort of the middle ground? Where would you put social media? How would you sort of integrate into your marketing strategy?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting question, because like you said, like there is that half that doesn't believe in it. And then there's the half that believes like, oh, it's the end all be all. Like, this is it. Social media is going to make us sell millions of bottles of wine, which I don't believe either are necessarily true. I believe that you need to kind of have the different components of marketing and then have social media like integrated within that. So I do also really, really believe in the importance of email marketing, ensuring that your website and just your brand is kind of cohesive. Your values are known when they're on your website. Like those other components of marketing with social media, it's just super powerful. And I believe in that. I believe in integrating it with a mix, basically, amongst other marketing initiatives.
Yes. How I see it very often is a lot of brands just literally think that social media is a sales channel. I talked about this on previous episodes as well. And I just recently had a sort of a LinkedIn Live webinar. I don't know how I call it, but yeah, it was a LinkedIn Live about this. But people feel like, people in the wine industry specifically feel like this is a sales channel. And if you put your nice images out, put your nice, you know, bottles and people drinking, that's going to actually sell things. But I think it's, we have to understand that this is a funnel, which actually drives your potential clients or potential interests down the line and gets them into the purchase point, which is either your website, if you are talking about a digital or an e-commerce business, or essentially your winery, if you are a winery or a wine company who produces wine. But I think there's there's a lot of elements. You mentioned email marketing, obviously. Mm-hmm. What do you think about SEO nowadays? Is it something what you very much involved in, or do you do SEO at all? Is that relevant?
I definitely think it is. I definitely think it's relevant, especially when people are like searching for wines from specific regions and stuff. If you're, I think people, obviously, it's interesting. Like, I don't know if you've noticed this kind of too, but there's different demographics that are using different platforms for search engines. Yeah. So for example, like kind of like millennial to like the older range, they use Google a lot, right? And then you have the younger demographic, like Gen Zs, for example, who are tuning more into TikTok and using TikTok as their search platform. So I do still, that being said, obviously, if you update your SEO on your website, you're not going to appear on TikTok kind of thing. Like those are very different, but you know, there are still the people that are searching on Google. And I think that if you're ranking higher when those search results pop up, I think that that is super beneficial. And obviously SEO can get you there. So I do. Do you believe in the SEO?
Yes, although I think search is changing, as you mentioned, TikTok. And I think that's an obvious trend that the younger generation is actually searching a lot more on social media channels rather than on Google itself. And I think artificial intelligence, Alexa and voice control and all these things will come into play as well. So I think its relevance is less than it was maybe a decade ago. I don't know if it's true or not. Maybe some SEO experts will message me and say I'm totally wrong about this. But but I do think, yes, it is important. However, I think for the new generation of drinkers, for the new generation of people, I think SEO is probably less relevant in the world of social media now, because you mentioned people search on TikTok more. And it's an obvious trend as well. We're probably going to talk about YouTube at some point as well, because if people don't know, YouTube is the world's second largest search engine, essentially owned by Google. And that's what probably makes it stand out from other social media platforms as well, a little bit.
Yeah. One interesting point that I was actually going to go back towards what you said earlier is kind of when people just think, oh, posting like a bottle shot on Instagram is going to get all these likes and all these people wanting to buy your wine, and just kind of like nothing, like, you know, they're not giving any depth to the image, they're not giving any storytelling. And I think storytelling is one of the kind of like the keywords that I'm trying to like take throughout all of my marketing and also clients that I work with throughout 2024 is I think the storytelling component tends to be missing from a lot of wineries and wine brands that do go on social media, is just really getting to know the story behind the brand and who's behind the brand and the story of this wine. Like, people love storytelling. I love listening to stories as well. So I think that's kind of one of the main things. And I don't know if you agree as well, like, just people need to implement more of that throughout their social media.
Yes, it's, I think it is very difficult for some companies and very difficult for some brands to implement it. And I think in a purely e-commerce platform, I think it's even more difficult because there's a little bit less behind the scene content happens, a little bit less face-to-face interaction where storytelling can be more relevant. However, they can still use a lot of storytelling tactics when they talk about the producers of the wine or when they talk about the story of the product, because a lot of product has a very good story to tell as well. I often talk about the storytelling of Red Bull because it, although it's not a wine brand and it's not necessarily a brand which I'm, you know, 100% behind, very rarely drink it, but I appreciate the brand itself because it's a huge global brand now. And I think what they do is actually giving you a feeling, not necessarily just the story, but they actually, what they manage to do is create a feeling that you can do anything when you drink Red Bull. And I think that's storytelling on the next level.
Yes.
For me, anyway. And I think wine brands should follow this sort of stream where they give customers a feeling. I think that's an important thing, because if you just think about the vineyard, when you're sitting outside on the terrace of a vineyard and looking outside, drinking cool wines, you know, that's already a feeling what you can sort of explain to customers and get them hooked up. However, I think you can only do it on your social media platforms. Or that's the main element of it.
Down
the line, you can do, you know, email marketing and you can include that story in many other channels. But I think that's the key.
Yeah, I agree with you on the like evoking emotions. I think that that is a really powerful tool that like a lot of wine brands should really focus in on as well. And like, yeah, because I mean, who doesn't want to be sitting on a terrace in Italy drinking wine, overlooking a vineyard? Like, obviously, like those emotions, like that's why I got into wine too in the beginning, because I loved the emotion of sharing a bottle of wine amongst other friends and family and getting to know people over a glass of wine. Like, I think that is just so lovely. And so if they're able to kind of tune more into that as well, I think it's really powerful on social media for sure.
And I was going to ask you about, in terms of within the marketing mix, obviously we're mainly talking about organic social, but what is your feeling about paid social media? I'm thinking about paid social media in the wine industry. Where would you use it? How would you use it generally? What would be your gut feel about that?
So I haven't really dove into much of the paid marketing, to be honest, but I do think it's beneficial. Like, I believe in organic marketing first and kind of developing yourself that way on platforms and kind of building your brand up, growing like that community, like we said before, and then kind of getting into the paid when you have like such as like promotions or anything like that, once you also have the budget to do so. But I have to say, I'm definitely an organic girl over the paid. Like, I'm definitely all for the organic. So I haven't really kind of tapped into that, but I'd love to kind of know your insights and your thoughts on that as well.
Yeah, it's just a very interesting topic because for me, at least, because I literally just today been on a 3.5 hour meeting with a client, and that was part of it as well. So paid marketing or pay-per-click advertising, whatever you call it, on social media and a little bit on search engines as well. I think it's an interesting thing, but what I was telling the client or trying to explain to the client is that how they currently use PPC or pay-per-click advertising on social media is not necessarily the right way, because what they do is they, from the beginning, they're trying to focus very much on product promotions. So they're investing money into social media, and then they're giving away discounts as well. So they're sort of losing money on two places, although they're developing clients. My gut feeling about that is, for a wine company, it would be a lot more beneficial, especially in the beginning, to use paid advertising on social for more of a community building sort of style. Yeah. So get people into your brand where you can actually tell your story, and then maybe with bring them down the funnel with a lead magnet. You encourage them to sign up to your newsletter.
Yeah, I think that makes sense, because you kind of need substance behind that ad that you're promoting. You know, it's not like, oh, we're going to spend all of this money on this one ad, send it out and kind of hope for the best. Like, you need to ensure that behind the scenes, you kind of have all of that set up, like you said, like lead magnets, stuff to substance the ad, instead of just saying, oh, we're going to create these ads, send it out, see what happens kind of thing. I think that they're like anything, right? We need a strategy behind it, and a strategy, yeah, that we know is going to work and know is going to provide results, especially if you're involving money in it. You need that foundation set beforehand.
What do you think in terms of social media? Obviously, we talked about it in the marketing mix a little bit, and I would go back to the previous point that a lot of people actually think about social media as a replacement of marketing. Mm. Can social media actually replace traditional marketing?
Yeah, I don't believe it can replace it altogether. I definitely think, like we kind of talked about before, I think kind of supplementing, right? Like supplementing alongside the other various marketing tactics that you are doing, specifically traditional marketing. I think obviously fully believe in the power of social media, but I think it's just there to enhance your marketing efforts as a whole. And even like we talked about before too, like you have the different audiences and the different generations that are looking at different areas and looking at different things, right? So the younger generation, yes, like grow on TikTok, like they obviously want to see you on TikTok. Then you have the older generation who aren't so social media savvy, right? So you still need that traditional marketing if that is who you're trying to attract and who you're trying to bring into your wine brand. And yeah, that's kind of my stance on that. What do you think?
I think a lot of wine company owners feel like this is the new thing. Mm-hmm. And then they jump on it and they feel like, okay, we can ignore everything else. And from that, social media will drive the boat. But it actually, I think it's kind of false, because social media is, I think it's a more and more important part of digital marketing and marketing in general. Mm-hmm. But I think we shouldn't forget about other traditional ways how you market yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think one thing, again, just to mention that we have to consider it as a funnel. Obviously, it can be top of the funnel, mid funnel as well. But essentially, especially for a wine company or especially for a wine brand, if you just think about Facebook or Instagram, they will not allow you to sell your products on their own platforms. Whereas if you are, let's say, if you are a clothing brand, or if you are, you know, selling cosmetics or smaller items, which... you know, not age restricted, age specific, you can actually do a good Facebook shop. You can actually do an Instagram checkout and all these things. But with a wine company, you can't. And actually, that's very important to realize that, yes, you can create your Facebook shop, but there's a fair chance that Facebook will not allow you to actually sell direct through there.
So, yeah, that is true. I think a lot of people forget, like, wine is alcohol. And there's obviously all of these restrictions placed around it. I mean, specifically too, like TikTok is kind of sticky around that. And there's certain things that you can and can't do, and certain things that won't get you views because they do have that younger audience. But like you said too, like we, like wine brands and wineries, they can't sell their wine easily on Instagram, like clothing brands, exactly like you said, right? So still having kind of that foundation and that kind of like that website set up, that shop set up in the background as well, I think is what is going to help propel you forward, as well as social media, just ensuring kind of all the boxes are checked on that and you do still have that flow of traditional marketing still working, still going alongside the digital marketing.
Yes, exactly. We were talking about clothing brand, and because I'm having my own clothing brand as well, I think this is a perfect opportunity.
Just I think so too.
In 29 seconds, so you can you know, have a glass of wine, have a glass of anything. But here is my advertising space here. This is social media for you in real life.
Hey, it's Chaba, the podcast host. And in this 30 seconds video clip, I want to ask you a favor. Please visit daddywine.club, which is my side hustle, a sustainable fashion brand for wine lovers. We create all these comfy pullovers, hoodies, t-shirts and jumpers for anyone who loves wine or anyone who loves the designs. Please visit and let me know what you think. And let's get back to the podcast right now.
There we go. That was epic social media advertising for you.
Yeah, that was perfect placement. I knew to say that, so I brought it back up so then you could then put that
thank you. Yes, thank you. Thank you. It's one of those things, actually, just funny, because I just, while I was running this little video clip, I thought about it. Actually, when I did a few ads on this Daddy Wine Club hoodies and on t-shirts and stuff. Even there, if your description includes wine or grape varieties or this and that, sometimes Facebook, you know, throw in a curveball for you, because they don't really allow you to actually place your advertising on their platforms, which is kind of funny, because it's nothing to do with alcohol apart from its name, and it's promoting alcohol. But in their guidelines, sometimes it's a bit more nuanced, and I think it's because it's mainly run by artificial intelligence, they still don't really get it. So sometimes it just does happen. So
yeah, exactly. I'm curious to know, like, in terms of traditional marketing, like, what do you think would kind of be the most important for a wine brand to focus on? Because I recently had a client ask me about having their ad featured in a magazine, which is like, yeah, a magazine, a wine magazine, I think it was, for example. And I thought that was really interesting, because knowing me, I don't pick up magazines anymore. But like, I don't know, just like, it depends. I said it depends on the age demographic and who is reading it to make it worthwhile. But I'm curious, like, what are your thoughts on that?
It's quite interesting, because what happens is, this specific client who I talked to today and had this very long meeting, we actually do stuff obviously outside of social as well, and digital marketing. We use traditional marketing elements as well, and wine magazines and other advertising platforms as well, which are not necessarily wine related, but sort of close to wine audiences. We use them. So if it's a national newspaper or anything similar, we try to piggyback on their audience a little bit, but you can't really tailor your marketing towards that so much. I think it's a big part of it. It's just same as PR. I see it sort of part of marketing as well, although it's not technically not, but I think it's very much hand in hand. So yes, wine magazines, other sort of industry awards, for example, like if you win a decanter award, that obviously helps your, I don't know, it's probably your authority within the space. I think it does help. But again, it's just part of that sort of whole mix.
That's I agree. How I feel it. I agree with you. And I think not necessarily, like, when we talk about like kind of like the whole mix, I don't believe, and I don't know if you believe in this either, I'm sure you probably won't, but like being on every single social media platform. So you have a wine brand that's on Pinterest, they're on Twitter, they're on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Like, no, I say no to that. I hope you agree.
Yes, I agree. One thing I was going to say, it's like I'm the complete opposite. I'm not the right example, because I'm pretty much everywhere. The reason I'm everywhere is because I'm trying to understand each platform, and I'm trying to understand the trends on each platform.
Yes.
I'm not necessarily there to promote myself. I'm there to learn about the platform so I can help. But that's a different.
I agree. I agree. Like for you and I, like definitely, like I think it's kind of a good idea to be on each platform, even like Threads, how Instagram had Threads that came out recently. A lot of wine clients I had were like, oh, do we need to be on Threads? And it's good for people like us to go on it and kind of explore it and see if it is going to be good for them, and then go back and relay that information and say, okay, like your target audience is on here, this is going to be beneficial for you, like let's do this kind of thing. But I think like definitely in the beginning, if a brand is like fresh and like doesn't have any social media set up, I definitely think of just doing two, like I would say Facebook and Instagram, start there, and then you can build up and go on to different platforms if your target audience is on there, and if you also have the energy and the time to be able to apply yourself to those platforms as well.
Yes, I mean that sort of leads very nicely into the next question, but I really want to go back on what you were saying. So which social media platforms to look out for in 2024? Obviously, it's always changing. And you mentioned just the two big ones of Facebook and Instagram, which is both owned by Meta. I very often, actually, I shouldn't, but I very often just sort of put them together. Because although it's the same company, they are two different audiences.
Yes.
At least, even if it's not two different audiences, but more used by different age groups. Mm-hmm. That's very, again, very simplistic. But I think I agree with you not to go over the top. Mm-hmm. However, I do think that there are other very interesting, exciting parts which a wine brand can actually sort of try out maybe and see if it works. Yeah. But definitely, I agree with you not to be everywhere because it just drains your energy completely.
And yeah,
I think it creates a massive burnout immediately and people just fall into that trap very easily. So
I definitely agree.
Where do you think 2024 is going to lead us in terms of wine marketing, wine social media wise, platform wise?
Yeah. I definitely think more short form videos. So in that case, I think we're looking at platforms like TikTok and then YouTube, as we mentioned before. I think those kind of two platforms are really kind of going to rise the ranks there because we're like turning into, well, we kind of are like turning, everybody's kind of turning into those people who want instant gratification when they go on social media. Like I know for me, for example, I love watching stories on Instagram because they're quick, I can go through them, see what everybody's up to versus scrolling kind of long throughout the feed. So I feel like that short form video is kind of going to be king moving throughout 2024. And I think wine brands optimizing that and using that. And I think too, using these platforms and creating that short form video, it doesn't have to be intimidating. I think as authentic as a wine brand can be, the better it is. So whether that is literally just in the vineyard, showing some shots of the vineyard and like what they're up to, kind of like a behind the scenes and bringing that authentic flair to it, I think is really going to help a wine brand on those platforms moving into 2024.
I agree with you and disagree with you at the same time because short form video, I think, yes, it does exist, but I think we have to sort of separate the two, the short and the long form, because how I feel about it is short form is your top of the funnel sort of marketing where people just, you know, you get hooked with, you know, short, snappy content.
Yeah.
Which then should lead them to a longer form video further down the funnel.
Yes.
Where people can spend time with you. People can spend a few minutes, maybe 15 minutes, half an hour with you and your content and get to know you, get to understand what you are about, because it's very difficult to explain everything in 30 to 60 seconds. However, it's a lot easier if people are willing to watch or listen for a longer period of time. But I think short form is definitely the one where you hook people and hoping that they're going to go down the funnel and they actually spend time with you and watch your long form content or listen to it or read your long form content, actually. That's a good point. I wanted to get back to that as well in terms of written content. But would you recommend TikTok, for example, for every wine brand what you're trying to work with?
No, no. And I get that question a lot too. Like when I start working with a new client who wants to do like full marketing kind of thing for us to come in and help manage all of that, they ask, they're like, should we be on TikTok? And I'm like, okay, first, let's kind of take a step back, analyze your strategy, what it is that you're trying to achieve on social media, and then also look at your target audience. I think if we're talking just TikTok, I think target audience is one of the biggest things that should really come into account. So like, yeah, like the wine, like obviously we have the different types of wine drinkers, right? And somebody who is in that older age demographic, like for example, I don't know, like the 50, 60, 70 year olds, not a lot of them that I personally know or like have heard of are on TikTok. Like it's typically like that younger generation. You have that, I think it's like Gen X to like millennial type age. So if that's who you're trying to attract, then I definitely agree with that. I do think it's interesting though, and you do prove a really good point about having that kind of long form evergreen content that is going to really kind of nurture your audience, right? Like kind of keep them involved in what you're doing and keep them there for a long time. So TikTok doesn't, they do offer that, but it's like 10 minute videos and it's not the same as YouTube. So I think, as we mentioned before, YouTube is another good place. So honestly, I would kind of maybe shift that and start a brand on YouTube first and then evolve to TikTok if we feel like that is right.
Just to mention, I don't know if you heard it or not, but apparently TikTok is going to introduce 30 minute videos.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yes, it's quite new, actually.
Yeah.
And I think the reason behind it is that they always had monetization issues.
Yes.
So when it was very short form content, very short and snappy content, they couldn't really put too many advertising space in between videos because people would get annoyed. So they increased the video length. And I think where they are now in terms of volume and number of users, I think they are sort of getting into the territories where their audience is growing as well with them in terms of age as well, a little bit. And they sort of trying to get into that more family-friendly content where they want people to spend more time on the platform, obviously. But the only way to do that is if you offer people longer versions and a little bit more sort of.
Yeah. So in an essence, they're trying to compete with YouTube. That's what I kind of see it as.
Yes, right? I think essentially, which is I think I don't want to tell them how to run their company, but I think they're not going to do that because it's two different things, and I think it's a different audience, at least not in the short term. But I think that's very important. As I say, Facebook and Instagram, I tend to put them into one bracket. TikTok is another one. Again, for me, very much depends on what is the product you're selling, what is your target audience. If you're selling canned wines, for example, for a newer generation, or a bit more quirky, a bit more like orange wine, sort of natural wine sort of scene, go on TikTok because it's likely that you're going to find your audience there. If you are a winery, for example, who are a little bit more traditional, I think the basics are very good to hook people and then move them maybe in a longer form YouTube content or audio, because I think audio is very underrated as well.
Yeah.
And written content, actually, it's something what you do as well, I think, very much.
Yeah.
And I think, again, a very underestimated platform for, especially for B2B, is LinkedIn, because I think LinkedIn is growing very much.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I hope to kind of see, speaking of emerging platforms and stuff, I kind of hope to see that rise of like wine brands using LinkedIn, especially the B2B. I think it's wonderful. Like, I don't know why I don't talk about LinkedIn enough. I'm glad you brought this up, because just thinking about it, I think it's such a wonderful tool for networking and creating those connections and creating those opportunities that you wouldn't have otherwise. Because I feel like LinkedIn is like you said, like it's a very like copy, like long form content driven, I think. Like you can find some great articles on there, some great information, versus where you have Instagram, which is very visual forward. Yeah. Like you're seeing the photo kind of first and then you're reading the caption. Whereas I feel like Instagram is completely opposite and all about those connections and driving those. So do you think that like more wineries should be on LinkedIn?
Definitely. I think I had clients before and they sort of refused to be on LinkedIn, and I just couldn't understand it, because you are a B2B business and how are you trying to sell yourself? I think especially for these types of businesses, LinkedIn is essential, because first of all, the audience goes there with a different mindset. I think people go on LinkedIn because they know that they want to do business. They know that they're looking for something. They know that even if it's just inspiration or connection, but essentially it's a lot easier to connect there, because all you do is just send them a request.
Yeah.
And if they even remotely interested in your product, your existence, they just press the button and suddenly you connected. Whereas on social media, you have to wait for them to to click on that button and follow you. And I think also written content on LinkedIn, so for brands or companies or people who don't really like to put their face on a video or they don't want to put your voice on an audio, it's perfect. If you still like to write about stuff, that's a perfect place. I think it's a grown-up audience, very business-driven audience as well. And I think it's very underestimated. So
yeah, definitely. I hope to see that evolve more for wine brands, like more wine brands hopping on it and utilizing it to its power throughout 2024. I think that will be great. I do believe that they need a little bit of an update, like regarding like their, I don't know, just the feel of it feels very old school. So hopefully LinkedIn kind of shifts a little bit more modern in terms of like usability and stuff would be nice. But that's only my small note on that end.
Yes, I think we can send them a note about this or something.
Yeah, I'll type up an email after this.
But and also there's one more thing which it sort of comes into the platform topic or the platform question, that repurposing content, because a lot of people obviously afraid of, you know, if I'm on, I don't know, 3 or 4 different channels, am I going to create content for 3 or 4 different channels? And it's true, you shouldn't put out the same content on every single channel, but repurposing content is a very easy way to actually use the same content on many other platforms.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely, I feel like when you get in that kind of like that, I know, like just personally speaking for my own accounts, like for Gleam Connections, I find sometimes I get in a rut and I'm like, what do I post about? I have no idea. Like I just feel like it can come across as hard sometimes, but whereas I could go back and take a look at all my top performing posts and kind of repurpose that, still touching on the same topic, especially if it did really well, right? That way, you know, your audience is kind of going to see more of that certain topic. Yeah. So just repurposing that in a way that is different from what you've already done, I think that's great. And it's just an easy way to continue to share what your audience really likes. So yeah, I think repurposing is really great.
Yes, I think it's a very easy example. So this video, what we're filming now, is obviously going to go on YouTube. I'm just going to take out the audio version and that goes on Spotify.
Nice, yeah.
And then just literally looking out for a few interesting bits or, you know, useful bits for people. I'm just going to put them into the short film version of 1 minute video, which can go on every single platform, from Instagram Reels, Facebook Reels, TikTok, YouTube Shorts. And then again, I use a software which allows me to actually take out written content from this. So it's a very easy tool to use. It's called Descript, and I think more people will use these sort of things in the future, because what I do is literally just have a look where I find a nice piece of content I can just cut that out
And
pop it into a written format as well. So it's unbelievable what technology can do for us now.
I know, right? Yeah, I feel like that's a whole nother conversation that we need to have, like technology and AI. Like, I don't even know where to start with AI, but I think that that's definitely going to help evolve the wine industry as a whole.
Yes. Just on a side note, do you use a lot of AI tools? Or
I use ChatGPT for just providing inspiration for a lot of content that I write. Maybe I need to figure it out more, to be honest, but I don't fully believe in like copy and pasting. Like, that's absolutely no, because I do feel like it provides a lot of fluff, and I'm not a fluff kind of person. So I don't know, maybe it's just me and needing to figure out how to work it more. But I've seen like some of the things people create with like images, for example, and it's just incredible, some of the designs that they create. So I definitely think we all need to kind of, those within the wine industry need to start learning it, because it's not something that's going to go away. It's something that we need to adapt to and learn how to use and best use it to our abilities to help our marketing, for sure.
Yes. So, and then I would highly recommend to watch the previous episode.
Oh, yeah.
Just before you, because it's all about AI as well. So I just...
perfect. I will.
I just had an AI expert on here, and we talked about how the wine industry can sort of benefit from AI.
Yeah. Okay, great. I'm definitely going to watch that and learn a lot about that, I'm sure.
Let's hope so. But anyway, thank you very much for joining me today, and thank you for your insights and your thoughts on this. And definitely, I think there would be another set of conversations which we could have about these sort of topics. I hope you enjoyed your very first podcast interview, because you know, it's, you always have to have a first one.
I know, so, exactly. This was wonderful. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to watch it now when it comes out.
Yeah, exactly. Well, hopefully at least you're going to watch it, because who knows how many people will.
Yeah, I'll share it. Don't worry. It'll be shared across every platform. I have repurposed, though, on each platform.
There we go. That's brilliant. Anyway, thank you very much for joining me, and thank you for taking the time. And guys, if you don't forget, because I always forget to say this, but if you do, press that bell button down there, and you know, the subscribe button and the like button and whatnot. And please help me get this podcast out to the world as well a little bit, so people can learn. So thank you very much, and see you next time.